This is BFBS Esports Live with OJ Borge.
It most certainly is. Here we are, 6:30 UK time for another BFBS Esports Live. Excited to be here. Let's sound the gaming horn, which I've worked out to be like the ship's horn on HMS Queen Elizabeth, but in 16-bit. We're live every Tuesday, 6:30, as I said, bringing you the latest in esports news from around the forces, plus chatting to some amazing guests. On tonight's show, what should we do? Well, I'll be joined by AS1 Jamie Griffith, who we spoke to in our first show, who captained the winning team at Code Bowl. First, though, along with some news, we shall play some music. This is Lady Gaga and Poker Face. What a tune that is. Bit of Lady Gaga and Poker Face here on BFBS for a bit of Esports Live. Let's do a guest, shall we? Let's talk to a guest who, I must admit, I didn't get the vest memo. AS1 Jamie Griffith. I didn't realise we were wearing vests today, Jamie.
That's it. This is the chill outfit.
It is a chill outfit. Where are you today? For people who haven't heard you on the show before, we did speak to you a few weeks ago. Just tell us what you do and what you do within esports within the RAF.
So I am at RAF Benton in Oxfordshire. And within esports, I am currently the RAF Call of Duty first team captain and also the Warzone captain.
Because you've been very, very successful, what have you been doing since the last time we chatted, which was, I'm trying to work it out, whatever it was, time is a made-up thing. What have you been up to? What have you been competing in?
So the main league that we are competing in right now, we have multiple teams in a service-wide tournament. So the army have set up a competitive Call of Duty league. The RAF themselves have three teams in there. So me personally and a lot of the other guys are currently competing in that. That is our main focus right now.
How tough is it to stay in the teams? I take it they're graded, so you've got like a first team, a second team and a third team. How intense is the competition to stay at the top level of the RAF teams?
Yeah, so as you say, obviously the different teams differ in skill levels. But there is a large group of us, you know, and that I don't want to put anybody off by saying the skill level is super duper high, because we have guys across all skill levels. But yeah, especially in that first team, because the teams are so small, you know, four starter players, the places are competitive and everybody needs to make sure that they're actually, you know, playing the game at a regular basis.
One thing that's worth pointing out is you do get people who are super skillful on any esport, whatever the esport is, from Call of Duty to anything else. The problem is it's being able to be skillful under pressure and also to be part of a team.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like I said there, it's, the key thing really is that you're continuing playing, because it's all well and good you coming on and you being good at the game naturally. But if you don't play regularly, you don't speak to the guys regularly, that communication can lack, and you won't perform the best as somebody that might be a little bit less skilled but can communicate and get some of those guys better.
Yeah, and it is about communication, because I take it the most skillful player is going to get wiped out by a team who may not be as skillful but know how to play the game, know how to put tactics together.
100%, especially Call of Duty on a competitive level. At a high level, skill will always be trumped by teamwork and communication at the highest level. You know, it's all good thinking that you're good at game and going in regular public matches. But at a competitive high level, it really is teamwork, communication and strategy.
Do you feel your training within the RAF, within the service, do you feel that helps when it comes to teamwork, when it comes to being a unit?
There is definitely aspects of military life that do help with that side of things. Communication, camaraderie, just a couple, but actually on the battlefield, not so much.
When it comes down to it. Just a quick question, actually. I saw this as a news story the other day. You play Warzone. Apparently, the new Warzone that's out, I mean, it's been out, what, now, a few months. Lots of the pro players at the top of it are not digging it. Lots of people have tended to leave at the moment. They're moving towards Apex. Why is that? I've never played. In fact, I've played two games of Warzone and got battered each time. But why are people tending to move away from Warzone at the moment?
I'll be honest, I am also one of those people. Post-code bowl. I think the development for Call of Duty as a whole has moved away from actually making a good game, and they've moved solely towards making money. And with that, the game has just become stale, in my personal opinion. And I think that's an opinion shared by the guys at the top. But it's really difficult because they have to cater to such a large audience, and not all of the time the best players enjoy those changes.
Have you moved to Apex?
I haven't moved to Apex. I'm still playing Call of Duty. I've just moved away from Warzone and I'm more on the competitive multiplayer side of things.
Have you tried? I take the thing is, though, because as I say, I've never played Warzone, but DMZ is where it's at. And if you've not played the DMZ zone, for me, that is the greatest of all the features that have been out in the last few years.
I haven't. I'll be honest, we spoke about that last time.
Oh,
and I didn't try it out. I've not tried it out.
We've not got it together. Maybe we can do it when we get to the end show. You mentioned Code Bowl. For people who missed it, it's worth looking back on it because it was a fantastic win. Talk us through how the last Code Bowl went for you and for the team and for the RAF.
It was really, really interesting, to be honest. We had a slow start as a team, as a service, the RAF. Connection issues, and we were down at the bottom of the leaderboard for across the first two games. So halfway through, we were at the bottom of the leaderboard. A massive final two games saw us climb to the top, of course, winning the Code Bowl title. So it was very very sweet, should I say.
Super sweet, mate, super sweet. The thing is, though, the US Space Force took the trophy into space with them. They had their trophy. They took it into space, helped for them being called the Space Force. What did you do with it? What did the RAF do with it? Have you done anything with it yet, the trophy?
It's in the works. I will say it is in the works. We have big, big plans. And I will say to everybody listening, keep your eyes peeled. Whoa. Because like in the tournament, we trumped the Space Force. We are looking to trump the Space Force with what they did with the trophy as well.
Oh, mate, I can't wait for it. Will it be? We've got three shows left after this. Two shows left after this. Will it happen before the final show?
When is the final show?
So in 3 weeks' time. So whatever that is. The 11th. 11th of April.
Possibly not. It is in the works with the guys at the top. So whatever they have in mind, but it is something big. So I assume it's taking its time.
I love the fact you're having to get it signed off by the brass.
Of course, of course. Big plans.
Big plans. So let's talk about Code Bowl this year. We had a fabulous chat a couple of weeks ago with one of the guys who runs the Code Bowl. What have you got planned for it as a team? How is the training going? How are you looking as a team?
Really good. You know, we've lost, as the military is, we have lost a couple of guys that did play in the last one. You know, job changes, some are leaving the service. So, as always, teams change, but it's all about how we get on with the new team, get the practice in. And, you know, there's still plenty of time up until the next code. So no doubt that we'll all be getting the training in.
Do you train specifically for people you're taking on?
Say that again, sorry.
Do you train specifically for who you're going to be taking on, knowing that it's going to be part of the code? Or do you change your training for that? Or is it just you train, stand, and then whatever comes in your way, you have a crack at?
Yeah, so of course, code being based on solely Warzone, a lot of the guys that maybe don't play Warzone will be, if they want to get in the code team, of course, need to put the hours in on that specific game. And like you say, because it's a teamwork-based game, you may choose different teammates that have different play styles.
How does the skill set change between professional Call of Duty when you're cycling through the maps and the game modes to where you're playing in Warzone?
Massively, massively different. The pace is of course the biggest difference. Very easy for guys playing on the regular multiplayer. Fast paced, don't really think about it because you respawn. Warzone, much, much different. Once you are eliminated, you are eliminated. So much slower pace, much more methodical, and it really takes a different play style.
Super niche question, and you'll only get this if you have actually played Call of Duty or Warzone. Is the gulag part of competitive play?
Competitive play. So Warzone?
Competitive Warzone. Is the gulag part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. It works the exact same as your public matches, yeah.
So how do you train the gulag?
It's one of them, you know, the gulag's forever changing. Especially when it turned to 2v2, it was very different because then you've got that other aspect of teamwork when you're in the gulag, and if you get put in there with somebody that you're not on a team with, it can throw up a curveball.
One of the most underrated modes from the last Call of Duty was the 2-on-2 mode, which I think is missed from this one. That just being part of the gulag for me is missed. Jamie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Best of luck for when you get to Cobalt. We are going to try and sort something out for a few weeks' time for maybe some sort of competitive play within the show. So maybe that's when we have a crack at DMZ together.
I'd be down. Let's do it.
Jamie, cheers, mate. Thank you to you. Thank you to your vest as well. I know you've got to get off now because you've got another Zoom to do at quarter two. But yeah, there goes AS1 Jamie Griffith from the RAF Call of Duty team. Fabulous to chat to him. And we are going to attempt this, actually. We are going to attempt to put something together, which I'll tell you about after this from Jake Bug. This is Lightning Bolts.
Morning, it's another pure grey morning. Don't know what the day is holding. And I get up right home and I walk right into the path of a lightning bolt. Siren of an ambulance comes howling right through the centre of town. And no one blinks an eye and I look up to the sky for the path of a lightning bolt. Matter as the angels parted for her, she only brought me torture. That's what happens when it's you that's standing in the path of a lightning bolt. Everyone I see just walks the walk with gritted teeth, but I just stand by and I wait my time. They say you gotta toe the line, they want the water, not the wine. But when I see the signs, I'll jump on that line. We'll be right back. chances. People tell you not to take chances, and they'll tell you that there aren't any answers. And I'm starting to agree, but I woke suddenly in the path of a lightning bolt. Fortune, people talking all about fortune. Do you make it or does it just call you? In the blinking of an eye, just another passerby in the path of a lightning bolt. Everyone I see just walks the walk with gritted teeth, but I just stand by and I wait my time. They say you gotta toe the line, they want the water, not the wine. But when I see the signs, I'll jump on that lightning bolt. I was lying back gazing skyward when the moment got shattered. I remember what she said and then she fled in the path of a lightning bolt.
Hey! Jake Berg, Lightning Bolt here on BFBS. And this is Esports Live with you for what? Another 14 minutes if we're going to be super precise about it. And chatting to Jamie there. Yeah, there is a call to arms, a gaming challenge that we're going to put into the final show. Amy, who does the show before this, she has asked me about it repeatedly over the last few weeks. So time now to absolutely get involved. So throughout the second series, we've been asking you to get in touch and challenge me to a game, whatever that game may be. No surprises, the Navy have challenged me to a game of warships. Jamie with the RAF COD team, well, he said he might be up for it for a crack on either DMZ or taking me on one of the other Call of Duty modes. And we're going to try and do this live in the final show as well. So if you want to get in touch, and there is only two shows remaining before we get to it, head over to bfbs.com/esportslive to get in touch and challenge me to a game of your choice with you and your pals. And there's tons of games that I'm awful at, because I actually, you know, I've played games, whatever, I'm 43 now. I've been playing games for 30 years of my life or more than that. I can't do the maths quick enough. 35 years. 36 years. So yeah, I always think I'm pretty good. The problem is, under pressure, I tend to fall apart. I'm good for moments. If I've had a glass of wine, oh my word, a couple of beers, and I'm unbeatable. But maybe it's Overwatch, maybe it's Apex, maybe it's Fall Guys, maybe it's Call of Duty, as we mentioned before, or anything else. Just get in touch, and you can do that by heading over to bfbs.com/esportslive. We would love you to be part of this final show and the challenge, and you will have no pressure on you, because you'll be wherever you are. You'll be online, and I'll be sat here attempting to present the show whilst playing whatever the game is that we set up. So get in touch with us. It's bfbs.com/esportslive. Let's play something from Wet Leg. This is Angelica.
Angelica. We'll be right back.
Angelica there from a band. I've always wondered how they got their name. That is Wet Leg here on BFBS. And time from the latest news from the world of esports. And we'll start off with the news of $1 million. And it's FaZe who have won the $1 million Intel Grand Slam prize after ESL taking the ESL Pro League title. Now, the Intel Grand Slam is something very few teams can say they've earned. It is a race against every other team in the world to find out who can claim four titles at premier tournaments, which are run by ESL. These include events like Intel Extreme Masters, the Majors, ESL Pro League Finals, and others as well. Only three teams have earned this accolade in the past, and after their win over Cloud9, FaZe have cemented themselves as the fourth. And I can say, I know the FaZe team, I know the guy who's the captain of it. They are a lovely team, absolutely worthy of this title. But what is weird is I've had to hand out the prizes before in my other role, which is at esports events when I'm on the stages, and they win gold bars. Now, I'm pretty sure it's not real gold bars, mainly because I could actually lift them, but they're still pretty heavy, and it's embossed with an Intel Extreme Masters Grand Slam on it as well, and the $1 million that goes with it, because $1 million, as we all say, is $1 million. Streaming star, and these are four words I never thought I'd say in the same sentence, Jeremy Disguised Toast Wang has responded to the backlash around him signing a team of female streamers to play in VCT Game Changers rather than All Pro Squad. Now, over the last few months, a handful of content creators have started making moves into backing teams in different esports, which is the right thing to do. They have a platform, they have money. It's a great way of getting new people into these esports. With Valorant, that's been the most popular choice for most of them. Given that these four have made their names through streaming rather than pro play, though, Toast has caught a bit of flak for signing them up despite their obvious talent. He responded, quote, "I assure you all the girls on the team are taking this event very seriously. They all meet the criteria set out by Riot to participate. You not get to gatekeep them from this event just because they are streamers." It can be very cliquey, the esports world. People who are pro players are never always particularly nice about people who are streamers, even though there can be great skills on both sides of it. Super Smash Brothers players are once again calling for Minecraft Steve to be banned from every tournament following Mashita Akola Hayato's victory at the final Smash Ultimate Summit. Now, Steve's dominance in the Smash world has been a hot topic for some time, although Akola has had the most success with the fighter so far. The number of special techniques discovered for Steve has made him highly controversial. So far, collision events, Hundred Boxes, Coin Box, and several other high-profile tournaments have banned the character following the discovery of a tech that allows Steve to get out of Hitstun. Now, lots of those words in there may mean nothing to you, but if you play Super Smash Brothers or you've ever played any fighting game over the course of your life, Street Fighter, for instance, say you're playing with Ryu or Ken, and you find out that Dalzim has one of the greatest, almost unblockable moves, you would be upset. Therefore, you would try and have Dalzim banned from it. That's what they're talking about there. And there you go. That is this week's esports news. Let's play another song. This is the Foo Fighters and My Hero.
There goes my
fine way to end a show. Bit of Foo Fighters here on BFBS. And that is it. We're at the end of another eSports Live. Thank you so much for being part of the show. Thank you to Jamie for being on, talking to us all about what they're planning for COBOL and everything that's going on there. Once again, we may well, if he's up for the challenge, Jamie, be having Jamie back on our final show in a couple of weeks' time. If you fancy being on that show as well and taking me on in a gaming challenge, well, you can do. Let us know what game you want it to be. We're going to do it all the way through the show. We may choose one game. We may choose multiple games. Whatever it is, we will do it. You can hit us up, bfbs.com/esportslive. Tell us who you are. Tell us what the challenge is. And yeah, maybe you'll be able to humiliate me live on the radio. Thank you again for being part of it. Thank you for listening. There will be another chance to hear it on Sunday afternoon at 12:30 UK time. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.
On air, online, on the app, on FM, and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS, the Forces Station.